game series of the season, now in their fifth try against the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. Green Jackets enter at 14-15, trying to get to 500 for the first time since April the 16th. Myrtle Beach 11-18. Augusta 2.5 games back of Fayetteville in the South Division. Myrtle Beach at 5.5, dead last in the South, but still working their way up. And there's a lot of time still in this first half to go. If you missed last night, you missed one of the most unique and chaotic ball games that we've seen in recent memory. The ball game was won in 12 innings by a score of 2-0 for the Augusta Green Jackets. That's strange enough in and of itself that we went through 11 innings, including both sides hitting twice in extras with an automatic runner at second, all scoreless. That being said, that isn't even where the strangeness began. The Green Jackets winning 2-0 despite leaving 18 men on base, mustering just 5 hits. They walked a total of 11 times, which was a season high, and they struck out 23 times out of the 36 outs committed. That's an organizational record since moving from Macon to Augusta back in 1988. No Green Jacket ball club had struck out more times in a game than Augusta did last night in any result, much less in a victory. But the Green Jackets got 5 scoreless frames from Mitch Ferris in his first start in 32 days, and Davis Polo, who was 0-3 in 4 starts and was moving to the bullpen for the first time as a Green Jackets arm, proceeds to go out and surpass any expectations and completely overreach anything he had done in his time as a starter. Polo, 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, and a career-high 6 Ks. The 6 innings was a career-high as well. Polo had his slider working. There was a very big zone. He was taking advantage. And despite the fact that the Pelicans had the winning run at third with less than 2 outs in both the 10th and 11th innings and had bases loaded and nobody out in inning number 11, Polo was able to walk the tightrope, face down the flames, and come out unscathed, as we mix the metaphors a little bit here. Green Jackets put up 2 in the top of the 12th with a 2-out, 2-strike, bases-loaded single from P.O. Boucher, who with that swing had snapped what was an 0 for his last 17 prior to that point. Boucher got the 2 RBI single, and then L.J. McDonough came on in the 12th to get his second save with the Green Jackets in his first professional season. We're certainly hoping tonight's a little less chaotic, but with a severe thunderstorm watch in effect for Myrtle Beach until 9 p.m., and the fact that right now we're staring at sun and blue skies, there's no telling what tonight could bring. Myrtle Beach will put Kenton Egbert, the undrafted righty out of Miami of Ohio, on the mound. It will be his 6th appearance and 3rd start. First start for Egbert since April the 16th. Egbert 1-1 with a 3.06 ERA. He has 21 strikeouts in less than 18 innings. That's good. He has 13 walks in 17 2/3 innings. That's less stellar. Egbert has been both a starter in his and a reliever all through college, and now in his first professional season, he has gone more than 2 innings and 4 or less in all 5 of his appearances. Multiple walks and 3-plus strikeouts in every such outing. So Egbert, who has a 4-pitch mix, is a very variable pitcher. The Green Jackets, on the other side, turn to Didier Fuentes. The 18-year-old righty, who's in his second season with the Green Jackets, is 1-0 with a 2.65 ERA in 17 innings pitched. Coming off a very solid outing, 4 innings, 1 run, a couple walks, and a couple hits in a no decision last time out. Going up against the Charleston River Dogs. His only win came on the road 2 weeks ago against Columbia in a career-high 5 frames with 5 strikeouts. Green Jackets using just 2 relievers last night. There's a lot of well-rested men in the pen. The same cannot be said for the Pelicans, who had to turn to 4 relievers last night and 2 the night before. That brings the Tax Slayer pregame show to a close, and now we send it down field side before we kick off with the singing of our national anthem. The sounds of Carolina Forest Elementary kick us off. Gotta love early season baseball. If school's in session, better odds than not, you're getting some sort of elementary rendition of the national anthem. Noah Adcock Howarth with you from Pelicans Ballpark in beautiful Myrtle Beach, where the Green Jackets have taken 2 out of 3, including a 2-0 12-inning shutout last night, where they struck out a organization record 23 times, left 18 men on base, and still got the job done against Myrtle Beach. Lineup for the Green Jackets, they've got a handful of changes this evening. Luis Sanchez leading off once more. Jace Grady back in the two spot after a night off. Drew Compton, Will Verdung, and Cade Kern, 3-4-5. Kern is in center with Robert Gonzalez getting a night off. Pio Boucher back in left. He's hitting 6 for the first time this year. Jacob Godman, 7 behind the plate. Joe Olsovsky hitting 8th. And it is the stateside debut and Atlanta organization debut of the DH Jose Marcano, who was signed on April the 3rd, assigned to extended spring training out of the Mets organization. And Marcano was placed on the roster April 29th. 11 days later, he's in the lineup for the first time. We'll dive into him deeper when we get to the 9 spot. The man on the bump for the Pelicans, Kenton Egbert, 22-year-old righty, originally from Kettering, Ohio, out of Miami of Ohio, was a swing man with a very strong senior year for the Red Hawks in the MAC, first-team All-MAC Conference, and earned himself an undrafted free agent spot. 6th appearance, 3rd start for Egbert, who's 1-1 with a 3.06 ERA. Fastball, split change, curveball, and a cut slider for Egbert. You will mostly see fastball and breaking ball against righties and fastball splitter against lefties. Green Jackets have 2 switch hitters and a left-handed hitter in Boucher in the lineup. Green Jackets back in their military camo jerseys for the second night in a row. Pelicans wearing the baby blue with the gold writing across the front and the gold numbers on the back. Pelicans' 4th jersey in as many days. Clouds starting to form. The rain is in the air, but for now, it's blue and beautiful as we get going at 7:04. Kenton Egbert's first pitch misses up and inside for ball one. Egbert has a very unique delivery, a high leg kick a la Bronson Arroyo. A lot of moving pieces. Tough man to pick up. Finds the top of the zone with the cut slider to even the count 1-1. Luis Sanchez hitting 278 on the season. 4-for-11 this week with 3 walks. Also had 3 stolen bases all on Tuesday. Egbert the 1-1. Sanchez shows bunt. Pulls back, but it's at the knees anyway. Strike 2. Green Jackets have been showing bunt more and more often this week after never attempting one through their first 25 games. Augusta at 14-15, trying to get back to 500. Myrtle Beach 11-18. 1-2 on Sanchez. Target at the knees, and it's chopped softly foul. Cut slider in the mid-80s. Fastball will be 90-93. Also has the split change in the high 70s and the 12-6 curveball that runs 79-81. 1-2 once again to Sanchez. Popped up into shallow center field. Preciado out, Wetzel in. The center fielder Wetzel makes the call and makes the catch for out number 1 to start the ball game. Defense for the Pelicans, Espinoza, Wetzel, and Rosario across the outfield. Alphonse and Rosario back in the lineup after being ejected last night. Paciola, Christian Hernandez, Preciado, and Pertuz around the infield with Miguel Pabon catching for the second time in 3 nights. Jace Grady steps in after a night off yesterday. Hammers the first pitch he sees back foul, fastball running in on the hands. It's an even split almost between fastball and cut slider against righties. About 55% fastball and a little under 40% with the changeup against lefties. Grady hitting from the left side sees the first changeup of the night from Egbert and it misses away. It's a very dramatic leg kick for Egbert coming out of the windup. Brings the knee high, nearly up to chin level. Misses inside with the off speed. There came the 12-6 curve. So now through the first 2 batters, we've seen all 4 pitches that the righty Egbert has to offer. Last through 6 days ago, got his first career win with 4 innings of relief. 1 hit, 4 walks, 5 Ks against the Salem Red Sox. 2-1 to Jace Grady. Hard hit back up the middle towards the shortstop Hernandez. He circles behind the bag and fires for out number 2. 2 up, 2 down for Egbert to start the night. He'll get his strikeouts no matter who he's facing, and Augusta's been K-ing a lot this week. But the walks have been a concern at times, too. Had a career-high 4 last time out and has multiple walks in every game he's thrown in his career. 2 up, 2 down for Drew Compton, who's trying to break out of a mini slump of his own. 0 for 9, but with 5 walks in the first 3 games he's played. Compton, first pitch changeup, called a strike by Theo Arndt. Arndt calling balls and strikes tonight. Liana Ricks out in the field. Arndt the more consistent zone of the two. 0-1, second straight changeup, misses in the dirt, hits off the helmet on a hop of Pabon. Runners don't try to go against Miguel Pabon very often. He's 1 of 2 catching runners this week and 2 of 9 this season. Jackets need to get a man on first. 1-1 fouled back on the fastball up and away. When Egbert's at his best, he's working up and outside to both righties and lefties alike. Has good carry on the fastball at the top of the zone. Velocity looks higher than it is. Trying to retire the side in order here. The 1-2 to Drew Compton. Egbert kicks and deals. Breaking ball on the ground to second base. Snared by Preciado. He fires to first, and a 1-2-3 inning is in the cards for Kenton Egbert as he gets his first look at the Green Jackets. Didier Fuentes will be on the mound for Augusta when we get back on the Green Jacket Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
What am I going to watch? What food am I going to order? Who am I going to unfollow? The internet is full of tough choices, but picking an internet provider isn't one of them. You gotta have good internet. With WOW, you now get upfront surprise free pricing with Wi-Fi modem included and no data caps. All for only $30 a month.
Wow.
Restrictions and terms apply. New customers only. Requires auto pay and paperless billing. Price for internet $300. Subject to change. Taxes and other charges extra.
Pelicans looking for their second win in 4 tries. Lineup Espinoza, Wetzel, and Hernandez at the top. Alphonse and Rosario back cleanup with Reggie Preciado behind him. Miguel Pabon catching, hitting 6th. Andy Gariola, Chris Paciola, and Fabian Pertuz. Round out the order against the 18-year-old righty Didier Fuentes out of Tolu, Colombia. Fuentes 1-0 in 17 innings this season. Espinoza steps in and sees a first pitch fastball inside. Fuentes has fastball, slider, and changeup. Fastball can run up to 96 with rapidly improving command. That's been the biggest difference this year. Espinoza shows bunt, pulls back, and the fastball is on the outer edge. Fuentes likes to work quick. He's been through 4 or more innings in all of his starts. A career-high 5 2 weeks ago. Flared down the right field line. Long run for Jace Grady, and it bounces once fair and into the wall. So that'll be an automatic ground rule double for Leonel Espinoza. Blooped it down the right field line. It kept hooking away from Jace Grady, and that short fence down the right field way hopped right over top of the 3-foot high wall. Espinoza's on with a leadoff double. There were no extra base hits through 12 innings last night. Heck, the Green Jackets don't have an extra base hit in the last 3 games. But the Pelicans start off with 1 against Fuentes. Fastball high and outside, and Espinoza is just able to go with it. Jacob Wetzel was 0 for 3 on Wednesday. Also had a hit by pitch off last night and in the series opener on Tuesday. Lefty takes a fastball outside, ball 1. Wetzel, an undrafted free agent back in 2020 out of Frederick Community College in Maryland. Spent all of last year in South Bend with the Cubs at high A. Infield shifting on the pull side against the lefty Wetzel. Fastball in on the hands, and Wetzel is dangerously late. Jacob Godman is catching. Godman's had a catcher's interference called on him in each of his last three starts, which is something to monitor. 1-1, Fuentes a long look at second. Fastball just outside. Theo Arndt sees it a little bit further away. There's been a rise in catcher's interferences across baseball the last 3 or 4 years as catchers try to show out for picks and be able to pull balls into the corner with good frames. 2-1 late swing from Wetzel. Nothing but fastballs so far from Fuentes. But as these catchers sell out trying to get themselves a stolen strike, usually at the bottom of the zone, it means they're setting up further out in front, trying to bring the ball to the knees before it crosses too low. Godman is like that, but he's had those calls go the other way. 2-2, tipped into the mitt, and Godman can't hold on. Hit off the inside of the catcher's glove for Jacob Godman. Would have been strike three on a foul tip, but instead Wetzel gets new life. It's not just a Godman or a minor league problem alone. So Wilson Contreras is now going to be out for at least a couple months with a broken arm after being hit by a swing for the Cardinals a couple days ago. 2-2 again. Swung on and tipped into the mitt. This time, Godman holds on. Strike three, first K of the day for Didier Fuentes. Defense for the Green Jackets, Boucher, Kern, and Grady across the outfield. Sanchez and Compton on the corners. Olsovsky and Verdung, your double play duo. Second pro game at shortstop for Olsovsky. And the aforementioned Jacob Godman is catching, who's caught 8 of 39 runners stealing. That's 21%. Hernandez is 1 for 12 this week. Takes a mighty cut on a fastball high. He's underneath 0-1. Hernandez, the top prospect on this roster, number 19 in the organization. His little brother Alexis is number 20. Hernandez signed for $3 million out of Santo Domingo a couple years back, 1 year before his brother did the same for slightly less value. 0-1 to the shortstop, slider swing and a miss. First breaking ball we've seen tonight from Fuentes was a good call to come out there against Hernandez, who has struggled at times this week with off-speed, as so many hitters on both sides have. Hernandez 1-for-5 last night, got his first hit of the week, also had a strikeout. Fuentes from the stretch, takes a look out at second, long hold, breaking ball low and outside. Good adjustment by Christian Hernandez to wait back. Ball never threatened the zone, but it's a pitch that Fuentes has used to induce chases time and again. Lead off double, Leonel Espinoza. He's at second base now, one out in the bottom of the first. Fastball, swing and a miss, strike three. Didier Fuentes, back-to-back strikeouts, both of the swinging variety and both with fastballs high. Fuentes came in with 15 strikeouts in 17 innings. And he's got two for his first two outs. Looking to strand a man in scoring position to start the ball game, Alphonsen Rosario will try to do the opposite. Rosario 2-for-7, 0-for-2 last night. Spin move from Fuentes trying to pick off back at second, but Espinoza's back. Verdung does not put a tag on. Rosario 0-for-2 with two backwards Ks on pitches that weren't in the Hawkeye strike zone but were called strikes. Got called out and ejected for arguing the last one. Slider tip back. Godman will throw down on the back pick, not in time. Green Jackets catchers, both Martinez and Godman, love to backpick to their respective bases. Both the 20-year-old Martinez and the 24-year-old Godman have a lot of faith in their respective strong arms. Rosario hammers it foul down the left field line. Nothing in two on Rosario, who's in right field today after playing center. Rosario didn't have to say much to get ejected last night by Liana Ricks, but he did the easiest and most surefire way to get tossed you can possibly do as a batter. He drew a line in the dirt where the ball crossed, and to be fair, he was exactly right where he drew it, but still no umpire is going to put up with that. 0-2 to Rosario, on the ground softly to short. First chance for Olsovsky tonight. fires and gets Rosario by a step. Leadoff double for Espinoza. He advances no further. We're scoreless after one at Pelicans Ballpark.
Premier Networks provides cyber technology and IT solutions for your business. Headquartered in the new state-of-the-art Cyber Technology Center in Augusta, Georgia, and celebrating a decade of IT support in our community. Premier Networks is your local, trusted, and official IT provider of the Augusta Green Jackets. Call Premier Networks today for your free cybersecurity assessment or visit us at premworks.com. That's premworx.com. Premier Networks, celebrating a decade of support in our community.
Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like saddling up and chasing down.
Look at that sweet moolah!
That big old cash cow.
Look at all that money!
Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
What am I going to watch? What food am I going to order? Who am I going to unfollow? The internet is full of tough choices, but picking an internet provider isn't one of them. You've got to have good internet.
Get 1 gig internet with upfront surprise-free pricing with Wi-Fi modem included and no data caps. All for just $60 a month.
Wow.
Restrictions and terms apply. New customers only. Requires auto pay and paperless billing. Subject to change. Taxes and other charges extra.
Green Jackets went down in order against Kenton Egbert in the first. Haven't put up much of a fight in any of the four first innings they've been through so far against Myrtle Beach. See what damage they can do in the second. Green Jackets will send Verdun, Kern, and Boucher. 4-5-6 in the order against the righty Kenton Egbert. Green Jackets in the first two ball games of this week put multiple men. Actually, all three games so far had put up multiple men in inning number one. Left all of them there. Have not scored in the first inning since last Friday. Fastball outside to Verdun, 1-0. Verdun 3-for-9 with three walks. Has an RBI this week. Egbert the overhand kick and misses low with a slider. It's a cut slider, a little bit harder than the traditional breaking ball you'll see. Egbert also has the curveball that he uses more to lefties than he does righties. Behind two on Verdun and fouled away. Fastball middle in, clangs over the awning on the 200 section here. Very solid crowd on a Friday night. As the sky darkens a little bit, 2-1 to Verdun. Underneath a high fastball to even the count. Breeze blowing out to left center field in various stages. It's supposed to get windier as the night goes on. Egbert kicks and deals. Fastball misses outside to run the count full. Egbert, two ground balls and a routine pop-up in the first. It's the first three-ball count he's encountered so far. Walks have become more of an issue this year than they were in his previous collegiate attempts up at Miami and Oxford, Ohio. Being stretched out as a starter tonight for the first time in 4 weeks. 3-2 to Verdun. Late decision to swing, but the right one. Nearly stole that out of the glove of Pabon, but pokes it foul towards the Myrtle Beach dugout on the first base side. Egbert out of Tippecanoe High School in Tipp City, Ohio, making his way down to Myrtle Beach. 3-2 fastball called strike three on a late call below the knees from Theo Arndt. Verdun had already flipped the bat away. Ball crossed about a ball below his knees. The bottom of the zone is the one place where Arndt is very inconsistent. Generally, the other three quadrants, you feel good about it. First strikeout for Egbert. Cade Kern steps in and sees a cutter high. Kern 3-for-14. Last night, 1-for-6 with four strikeouts. Cade in each of his last four ABs in the ballgame. 1-0, rifled out to deep center field. Long run for Wetzel going back towards the track. That's over his head and off the wall. Kern cruises into second. They've called it. Both umpires have their hands up as the throw gets away. Kern runs over to third base. But now they're trying to argue that that went out of the ballpark. The question is, did that bounce off the fence or did it bounce off the batter's eye? Where on the white line was it? If it hit the batter's eye, it's a ground rule double, and Curran is at second. If not, it's a double and a throwing error, but Cade Curran is going to be told to return to second base. It looked like it hit below the yellow stripe on the 8-foot fence out there in dead center. Either way, Curran's got the first extra base hit of the week for the Green Jackets, a one-out double. And it's second, one down for P.O. Boucher. Boucher was the hero last night, also had two walks. Chases a changeup for strike one. Pierre Oliver out of Levisin, Quebec, hitting .211 this season after being drafted in the 10th round last year. Played 23 games with the Green Jackets last season. Curran being held on at second, dancing off, tried to time it up. Goes scampering back, and the pitch is in the dirt. So he drew Egbert's attention, that much is sure. Curran, a bouncing secondary lead before Egbert had lifted his leg. Got a stern look back from the righty as Hernandez charged in case a pickoff came. And then the pitch missed downstairs. 1-1 on Boucher. Boucher hitting sixth for the first time this season. Hernandez backs up. Egbert delivers. 1-1 cracked into right field. It falls on a hop for Rosario, who bobbles it slightly. Boucher's going to cruise into second base. Curran got a late break. He stays at third. But back-to-back doubles, it appears. Ball looked like it was headed right at Rosario in deep right field, but the top spin created on the tomahawk swing from Boucher dropped it a step in front of him. Boucher gets away with a nice swing. He's got the extra base hit. Was a hard hit regardless, but it goes from productive second out into extra bases. Second and third and one down. Jacob Godman checks in an RBI chance. Infield is halfway in all the way around. Egbert out of the stretch. First pitch, curveball down the middle to Godman. Jacobs 1-for-6 with two walks and an RBI this week. Curran the ground rule double to center. Boucher the double to right. Curran had to stay at third. 0-1 on the catcher, Jacob Godman. Third start in 4 days. Breaking ball into left field, base hit. Green Jackets get on the board first as it kicks away from Espinoza in left field. That's going to send the runner home. There's no play at the plate. It's two runs scoring on the RBI single from Jacob Godman. Three straight men at the bottom of the order bring home runs. It should be one RBI and then Boucher scoring on an E7. 2-0 Augusta in the second after it took until inning number 12 last night to get on the board. Jackets are attacking Kenton Egbert at the bottom of the order. Joe Olsovsky hitting eighth tonight. Two in, one on, one out. Egbert a long look at Godman. Delivers a fastball to the outside corner. Olsovsky 1-for-8 with three walks and a hit by pitch this week, hitting .149 on the season. Super utility man has played multiple games at all four infield spots this year. Godman a short lead, 0-1 changeup tipped into the mitt. First right-on-right changeup we've seen from Egbert this evening. Puts Olsovsky in an 0-2 hole. Godman runs well for a catcher. Works a little bit of a larger lead with two strikes. Long hold from Egbert. Kicks and deals, fastball, outside ball one. Godman's trying to time things up properly. Runners are 7-for-9 against Miguel Pavone, but the Green Jackets are just 1-for-2. 1-2 on Olsovsky in the top of the second. Augusta leading 2-0. Egbert comes home. Slider spurred foul. Olsovsky able to stay alive. Olsovsky does have some strikeouts this year, 15 Ks in 15 games. But they're usually lengthy at bats, not one to go down quietly. 1-2 again to Olsovsky. In the dirt, it gets away from Pabone, and Godman would advance 90 feet into scoring position. Jacob Godman got a fantastic read on that one. As soon as he saw the downward angle, and watch Pabone begin to enter a blocking stance. He took off, and by the time it ricocheted off the chest protector, there was no chance. Godman was easily into second base. Scoring position, 2-2 count with one out on Olsowski. Egbert delivers a cut slider outside for ball three, so Olsowski showing patience. The next pitch he sees will be the seventh of the at-bat. Egbert's now thrown 33 pitches through an inning and a third. Pelicans have used a lot of relief arms this week already. Payoff pitch, breaking ball, hit towards short on a line. Hernandez makes the catch. Hung up just long enough for Hernandez to range to his left, makes the play. Godman never really left the bag, so no play for Hernandez to double up. And here is the professional stateside debut of Jose Marcano. Catcher out of Tucupita, Venezuela, just turned 20 on Monday. Signed with the Braves after 3 years in the Mets system. Be the first at bat outside of the Dominican Summer League. And he nearly got hit on pitch number one. Fastball running towards the back knee. Marcano, known more for his defense than his offense, hit under 200, 182 last year in the DSL with the Mets. Swings at a slider in the dirt, strike one, but the pitch gets away, and Godman moves up 90 feet. Skies are darkening rapidly. A lot of ominous clouds rolling in behind home plate. Counts 1-1 on Marcano in front of a packed crowd. Myrtle Beach fills up when it wants to. These Friday, Saturday night games, there's nowhere better to be by the beach. 1-1 to Marcano, two runs already in. Fastball misses high, Egbert an early release. Marcano danced between three different DSL affiliates for the Mets as they continue to get renamed and changed up. Bypassing the FCL to come here, 2-1 slider, spun away by Marcano. Nearly completed the Dr. Seuss cycle. Played for DSL Mets 1, Mets 2, and Mets Blue. Didn't have Mets Red in there, which was a little bit unfortunate. Few heavy drops of rain starting to fall as the wind kicks up to deep left field. 2-2 on Marcano. Fastball, check swing. Appeal out to Liana Ricks at second, and he did not go. So the count runs full. Marcano putting together a nice little at-bat. He'll see a 6 pitch. The next one that comes will be the 40th of the evening for Kenton Egbert as fans start scrambling for cover. Payoff to the DH. Slider outside. Ball four. And Marcano is on in his first AB. Jose Marcano was added to the roster on April 29th, replacing Luis Parra-Babire, who was flipped between catching and playing first down in the Florida Complex League. And they are going to call this game. We are going to see the tarp come on as the rain is starting to rustle down in a hurry. There's a severe thunderstorm watch from now until 9 p.m. The heaviest parts of the rain are approaching now, and they're expected to last for about 25 to 30 minutes. There's a cell moving through. We're getting the tail end as it appears the majority of it is going to work north of us. But this ball game is going to greatly depend on how quickly this tarp gets on. And here come the Pelican staff, but the wind is making it difficult. Oh no, the pitching mound tarp just went flowing into right field. Two hard-working grounds crew members went sprinting after it. Meanwhile, the duo that's handling the home plate tarp, they're fighting against the breeze. Gusts up to 30 miles an hour here in the storm delay. We have entered a rain delay for the first time this week here at Pelicans Ballpark. Tarp was on yesterday, never threatened. There's still blue sky behind center field. And you can tell it's rolling in sharply from behind us, sheets of gray. And boy, this could get hairy. As the fans scramble underneath the concourse, it's a long walk to get underneath. The office staff and the grounds crew, they're trying to battle the breeze and get the blue tarp on. The mound was not covered. They've given up on the mound tarp. They've given up on the home plate tarp. They're just going to try to get the big one on here and salvage as much dirt as possible. Green Jackets had four rain delays last week when Charleston came to town. We had a Wednesday game suspended, or a Tuesday game suspended, excuse me. That ball game got canceled, and the wind just took the tarp out of the hands of everybody. So they're going to have to go running and scrambling for it. Wind and rain coming down harder. But Tuesday got called in seven. We had delays on Friday and Saturday before Saturday's ball game was finally suspended in the 11th inning. We finished that game on Sunday afternoon, got into the top of the second where we are right now in the Sunday game that was supposed to be the only game on Sunday, and then that game got canceled. Now, granted, that was a getaway day, and it was substantially harder rain than we're seeing right now, and it was also a cell that was right in the center of downtown North Augusta for the better part of 2 hours on Cinco de Mayo. The tarp is on the field. We'll see if it stays there. They're scrambling paint cans and weights. Overturned buckets and cement blocks. Anything that can hold this tarp down is going on the field as the big, thick droplets of rain come down. Rain's coming down heavily. The Green Jackets took a 2-0 lead here in the second. Four of the six men to bat so far this inning have reached after a leadoff strikeout from Will Verdung on a ball below his knees. Cade Kern with a ground rule double to dead center. And P.O. Boucher with a double that fell in front of the right fielder Rosario, who appeared to misplay it slightly. Saw the top spin, broke backwards a step, then charged in late and pulled up, although it appeared he had a play. That set the stage for Jacob Godman, who had an RBI single into left field scoring Kern, and then the ball kicked off the heel of the mitt of left fielder Lionel Espinoza. That brought home Boucher from second and pushed Godman, although he stayed at first. Godman has moved up to second and now third on wild pitches. Marcano, in his first at-bat in the United States, worked a six-pitch walk. So whenever this game resumes, there will be men at first and third with two outs in the top of the second. Green Jackets will be leading 2-0. And at the moment, we're going to take a commercial break and come back in when we have updates, as soon as we have them. But as the rain begins to douse Pelicans Ballpark, we are in a rain delay. We appear to be having technical difficulties with the commercials. It's not the first time the Wi-Fi has gone out here in the press box of Pelicans Ballpark. So while we work to get that rectified, put some ambiance on for you here in just a second. It is now raining in sheets, but the tarp is on. The fact that neither the home plate tarp nor the pitching mound tarp made it on due to the heavy winds means that there could be some extra maintenance necessary if and when the rain stops. There is a small cell working over us. Famous last words, small cell. But allegedly the rain will stop eventually. And that's where we sit at. The Green Jackets are leading 2-0 in the top of the second with two on and two outs in game number four of the six-game series. The longer this wait stays, the more interesting it will be to see what the two starters will do. Kenton Egbert was struggling as the starter for the Pelicans, but they've used a ton of relievers this week. Had to put four different relievers on the mound last night and have used nine in total over the three games we've played so far, and they only have 10 available on the roster. The only man we haven't seen out of the pen so far is the long man Nick Dean out of Maryland. He would be the odds-on favorite to take over this ball game if they decide that the wait or the struggles in the second were too much for Egbert to give it another go. Green Jackets used a lot of relievers on Wednesday when Cade Keeler didn't make it out of the first, but Delaney and Bo Phillip both ate more than two innings each, so that lessened the difficulties. Zach Austin and Luis Vargas are both on 6 days of rest, and Vargas has been stretched out as a piggyback arm. So if Vargas has to come in and give you three, 4 innings, you can live with that. The fact that he's there is certainly a benefit. We're going to try to go to the commercials again, get everybody updated on the socials, and then bring you back in as soon as we have news from Pelicans Ballpark.
Premier Networks provides cyber technology and IT solutions for your business. Headquartered in the new state-of-the-art Cyber Technology Center in Augusta, Georgia, and celebrating a decade of IT support in our community. Premier Networks is your local, trusted, and official IT provider of the Augusta Green Jackets. Call Premier Networks today for your free cybersecurity assessment or visit us at premworks.com. That's PremWorx.com. Premier Networks, celebrating a decade of support in our community.
Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like saddling up and chasing down.
Look at that sweet moolah!
That big old cash cow.
Look at all that money!
Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
What am I going to watch? What food am I going to order? Who am I going to unfollow? The internet is full of tough choices, but picking an internet provider isn't one of them. You've got to have good internet. Get 1 gig internet with upfront surprise-free pricing with Wi-Fi modem included and no data caps. All for just $60 a month.
Wow.
Restrictions and terms apply. New customers only. Requires auto pay and paperless billing. Subject to change. Taxes and other charges extra.
Fans, with the 2024 season kicking into high gear, there's no time like the present to deck yourself out in the newest Green Jacket styles, available only at the Hive Pro Shop. You can browse through extensive collections of shirts, hoodies, caps, and more in a variety of styles, including theme night apparel such as Pimento Cheese, Pavo Salvajes, and the new Augusta Rams line. Head on down to the Hive Pro Shop located right next to the front gate, or shop online anytime at www.hiveproshop.com.
Looking for a great rate on an auto loan? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has that covered. Great rate on an RV, boat, motorcycle, or a mortgage? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has great rates on those, too. But did you know SRP also has great rates on credit cards? And not just great rates, but perks, too. Whether you're wanting a traditional credit card with the lowest rates, or a rewards or signature credit card that will earn you points, SRP Federal Credit Union has what you are looking for. Visit a branch or apply online today at srpfcu.org. Good things are happening at SRP. All loans subject to approval and rate may vary depending on individual's credit history and other factors. Programs, rates, terms, and conditions subject to change without notice. Membership required. For information on our credit card points and rewards program, visit srpfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 612441.
Good things are happening at SRP.
Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like discovering a refund tree has grown in your backyard.
I'm the refund tree.
Sawing off its branches.
Hey, hey.
feeding them through a wood chipper.
My branches! My beautiful branches!
And dancing in its refund rain. Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
What am I going to watch? What food am I going to order? Who am I going to unfollow? The internet is full of tough choices, but picking an internet provider isn't one of them. You gotta have good internet. Get upfront surprise-free pricing with Wi-Fi modem included and no data caps. Plus bundle internet 300 with YouTube TV for just $92.99 per month for 12 months with autopay and paperless billing.
Wow.
Restrictions and terms apply. New customers only. Requires autopay and paperless billing. Price for internet 300. Subject to change. Taxes and other charges extra.
Green Jackets fans, single game tickets are now on sale at greenjacketsbaseball.com. Greenjacketsbaseball.com is your one-stop shop for tickets, information on promotions, and of course, the Hive Pro Shop online store. Visit greenjacketsbaseball.com for more.
At WellStar, affiliated with Medical College of Georgia, you're not a number. Even if you are sitting in Section 107, Row C, Seat 16, whether you're visiting our hospital, one of our primary care locations, or medical offices in the Augusta area, WellStar's all-star medical team always goes to bat for you. Our comprehensive approach to healthcare extends across our statewide network and beyond to care for every aspect of your well-being. We lead the way in healthcare with innovative technology and experienced providers to ensure you have the expertise you need close by. Whether it's preventative screenings or care for complex conditions, your health is in the right hands with the skilled team at WellStar. Highly rated by fans like you. WellStar. More than healthcare, people care.
Watching TaxSlayer calculate your refund feels like climbing to the apex of a roller coaster.
Here we go!
And flying down the tracks. At maximum refund speed. Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Fans, all season long, Pete and Jerry's Home Run Eggs, the official egg partner of Minor League Baseball, invites you to show off your excellent moves in the Shelly's Shake Your Tail Feather Dance-Off for your chance to win free eggs. Pete and Jerry's eggs are in a league of their own. Their hens are free to frolic under sunny skies on small family farms, laying eggs with impeccable taste and quality. Find them at your local supermarket and bring them home today. Green Jacket fans, every Thursday at SRP Park is Thirsty Thursday, presented by Busch Light and Pabst Blue Ribbon. Fans 21 and older can enjoy $2, $4, and $6 drink specials during every Thursday home game. 12-ounce PBR and Busch Light is just $2 until last call, and you can enjoy $4 16-ounce drafts and $6 32-ounce drafts from 6 to 8 p.m. Get your tickets at the box office or at greenjacketsbaseball.com now to enjoy this great deal.
Looking for a great rate on an auto loan? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has that covered. Great rate on an RV, boat, motorcycle, or a mortgage? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has great rates on those too. But did you know SRP also has great rates on credit cards? And not just great rates, but perks too. Whether you're wanting a traditional credit card with the lowest rates or a rewards or signature credit card that will earn you points, SRP Federal Credit Union has what you are looking for. Visit a branch or apply online today at srpfcu.org. Good things are happening at SRP. All loans subject to approval and rate may vary depending on individual's credit history and other factors. Programs, rates, terms, and conditions subject to change without notice. Membership required. For information on our credit card points and rewards program, visit srpfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 612441.
Good things are happening at SRP.
Well, Breck, we'll bring you back in at least as much as we can. For those of you still with us, my name is Noah Adcock-Howarth. We are in a rain delay here on the Green Jackets Baseball Network between Augusta and the Myrtle Beach Pelicans in the top of inning number two. Green Jackets leading 2-0 with two on and two out. Augusta getting an RBI single from Jacob Godman. And then a run scored on the same play via an error off the glove of the left fielder, Leonel Espinoza. So Augusta, after scoring two runs in 12 innings last night and not getting any runs through the first 11, have jumped out in the second frame against Kenton Egbert, who's making his first start since April the 12th. Trying to attack him a little bit more and see if you can rattle him a little bit. Now, we're in a rain delay, and we have been for the better part of about a half an hour. Green Jackets leading 2-0, and with Didier Fuentes working through just one inning, the interesting question on both sides will be who is available and whether or not either starter will come back out. Now, if you want an update on what's actually happening right now, the rain has all but subsided. There's a few droplets still coming down in the dark grayish-blue sky. The tarp is still on the field. It is absolutely soaked to the bone, and both clubs, for the most part, are in their respective locker rooms down the left and right field line. There is some flooding in the dugouts, and there is some standing water out on the foul lines and the warning track in right center field, which is being actively broomed and spreaded by the Pelican grounds crew staff. But fans have now been allowed to re-enter the seating bowl. Napkins at a premium right now as everybody tries to towel off their suddenly soaked seats. Neither team has returned to play, and there's a lot of steps that we will still have to go through to get there, but this is absolutely a positive development for those of you who are in favor of baseball actively being played tonight and doing so before it becomes tomorrow. Once this gets passed, there's not a ton of aftershocks behind it. There's not a great deal of concern for what should come. And for the general record, tomorrow is supposed to be sunny and 72. Sunny and even warmer on Sunday evening. Both of the games this weekend will be 6 o'clock starts. And then the Green Jackets, after that final game, will hustle home, get an off day on Monday, and then have their lone 12-game homestand of the season. Augusta will play host to the Salem Red Sox in the first of two series meetings against Salem this year, and the only one at SRP Park. The back half of that 12-game in 13-day set will be the Kannapolis Cannonballers coming to town for the first time. Each side won three games apiece when Augusta and Kannapolis did battle in the first full week of the season from April 9th through the 14th. First three ball games went to the Cannonballers. The last three went to the Green Jackets as they slowly got their offense off to a hot start during the season. Fans continue to file back in. A majority of the fans stuck around. A rain delay of a half hour, and always there was the promise of brighter days and sunnier skies on the horizon. So there was never a large reason for everybody to leave when you had a feeling this game would be all right to get going, especially once the tarp got on in a reasonable amount of time. Not without some doing, as the thunderstorms and rain had bring driving winds up that kicked just about every conceivable iteration of the tarp, moving it backwards and forwards into the outfield when it was supposed to be on the infield. But for right now, there's been no call for everyone to hustle down and take the tarp off. We don't know where they intend to dump it, that is. Green Jacket players are hanging out in the left field corner in the opening in front of their locker room, just waiting to get a look, trying to get some sort of update on if and when this ball game will be starting in the near future. Grounds crew still rolling out the puddles in right field along the warning track. Stretching into right center. Those are the biggest problem areas that are in the field of play, but there also is some decent puddling in front of both dugouts and just past those respective dugouts on the left and right field line. So this will not be an immediate process, but it would have not been in our best interest. It would have been an outright disservice to not give you some form of update. As certain as I am that those of you that are still with us were enjoying the MVP Baseball 2005 soundtrack, because it was clean and royalty free on Spotify. As great of a video game as that was, and as much as many folks would love to bring that one back, I'm sure that's not what you tuned into this broadcast for on a Friday night. One of the all-time great sports video games there. Could go down a whole rabbit hole with MVP Live 2005, from the intro to the recognizable soundtrack. That's one of the best individual soundtracks for a yearly sports game in the 21st century. See, I said we could go down the rabbit hole, and now we're going to, because we have nothing else to do. And I don't like this to turn into a podcast, but gosh darn it, we've had enough rain delays, and there's too many men with podcasts already. So you're going to have to listen to the ramblings for now. But sports-themed video games have been on the mind of just about every red-blooded American with a vesting interest in either PlayStation or Xbox after a lot of leaks have come out in regards to NCAA football 2025, coming back for the first time in 11 years from EA Sports. If you have nobody on the broadcast in the middle of July and it's not during the All-Star break, there are three guesses and the first two don't count on where yours truly will be. Just absolutely turning around the East Carolina football program on the PlayStation 4 and just running things up, basking in the glow of my childhood brought anew. It's part of the reason why we had MVP as a particular soundtrack to run us through the rain delay, because there's nothing better than reliving your childhood. Everybody's got a different stance on how to kill time in the rain delay. There's only so much you can do on the radio. Our good friends in Columbia, John Kosas and Patrick Lamar, when they had a rain delay when we were there 2 weeks ago on a weekend ball game. Kosas was actively doing the MILB version of the Wordle and the Immaculate Grid simultaneously. We don't have the graphic to put that up because we're on the radio. They had that screen live casting onto their TV broadcast, so they were able to keep things interesting. But it's all about just holding court and keeping yourself on the air, as are the requirements by Minor League Baseball, despite the rain delay. Like this and everything else that we run through, your primary updates for just about anything will come in via Twitter and Facebook, with Instagram more sporadically updated on the Green Jackets social media, at Green Jackets or Augusta Green Jackets on every conceivable platform. There's a lot of movement. Umpires just briefly walked onto the field before returning to their locker rooms. The crowds have come back in waves. So you know that the fans are starting to get antsy, and the longer it takes to get this tarp off, the more that restlessness is going to turn into rowdiness. We saw some rowdy fans last night on Thirsty Thursday. As the ballgame went into 12 innings, the diehards that stayed here and kept enjoying themselves were certainly making their presence known in the 2-0 Green Jacket victory. Some folks will take questions on Twitter. If you have those, you're welcome to send them. We're just trying to keep everybody updated. The best rain delay method of entertainment, far and away, that I've ever seen or been a part of, understandably, comes from the Savannah Bananas. There's a lot of things you can say about Savannah. I've experienced that a handful of times back when they were in the Coastal Plain League in 2022. It's a sight to see once. It's not a sight to see you need 6-7 times, although I certainly respect the folks that do. You also, when you go 1-6 in the 7 games that your team plays in Banana Land, it starts to grate on you a little bit. But Savannah, because they have so many fans naturally, even when they were in the CPL and having to conform slightly to traditional baseball rules, rather than doing what they do now, which is the MLB or baseball equivalent of the Harlem Globetrotters, where it is a baseball foundation, same way Harlem has a basketball foundation, but rules and regulations become a little bit looser. In the CPL, they had to stay under the mandate of the league rules, which is why, in addition to the potential payout from a world tour, Jesse Cole is no fool, they decided to part ways with the Coastal Plain League. But in the time that we had there, They got themselves into about a 90-minute rain delay, and they have certain capabilities technologically that many teams at the college summer or even minor league level don't possess because of the investments from the fans that they have, especially on their Facebook Live and their YouTube. So, naturally, they booted up the Wii, and we were playing Mario Baseball on the broadcast. Hopped out of the radio booth because the radio had no need to be live for 90 minutes in a college summer broadcast where there were maybe a dozen fans listening. And so we brought out the Mario Baseball. And I promise if we had a Wii and could get something to you, we would. There's only so much we can do. It was close to a packed house when we got this ball game started, very near and dear towards a sellout. Pelicans Ballpark, in its 25th year of existence, has seating for 4,800, and with standing room capacity, gets just shy of 6,600 into the ballpark. Myrtle, a fan base that relies so heavily on tourism coming in, wanting to see themselves a baseball game while they're in town for beach vacations. Same reason Charleston draws well, although Charleston has a much more highly devoted local fan base. Myrtle draws well locally, but a midweek in Charleston eclipses everybody else in the Carolina League. There's something about the Joe down there in the Holy City that just brings the people out. But they were very close. Would have been interesting to see, and still will be interesting to see what the announced attendance ends up being. A lot of group locations, the picnic area down the right field line, the sandy beach area that they've got, trying to replicate a Hawaiian vacation or a Myrtle Beach vacation down the left field line, is available. The tarp is still on, by the way. The rain has fully stopped. The fans are just waiting. But again, as we said when we first got back on here, it's not going to be a removal of the tarp and just like that an immediate return to play. There is so much standing water on the tarp right now that it's going to have to go somewhere, which is going to create puddling, which is going to have to be taken care of. Not only that, both relievers or the starters, if they decide to come back out after a lengthy delay, will have to get themselves back loose. Didier Fuentes looked fantastic in his opening inning, allowed a leadoff double to Leonel Espinoza on a pop-up down the right field line that fell right along the white line and then bounced out of play over the sidewall. Two strikeouts and a routine ground ball of the next three men he faced, and Espinoza never advanced past second. Fuentes with a lengthy delay. The longer it goes, the less likely it is that he comes back, which would mark the second time this week and second time in the last 3 days that the Green Jackets would have had to get eight or more innings out of their bullpen. Cade Keeler got pulled due to a high pitch count with two outs in the first on Wednesday. Keeler generally has a pitch count of 70 to 80 as his target goal from the Braves player development staff. But the Braves, like many teams, they recognize the dangers of a long inning, and Keeler was at 32 pitches through six batters, two runs, two on, and two out at the time. So Keeler was lifted. And then the Green Jackets got a combination of 7 1/3 innings between Adele Delaney, who went 2 1/3, Bo Phillip, who went 3 2/3, and then Will Silva, who got the final four outs. There, of course, was no ninth inning as the Pelicans won that ball game by a score of 4-2. Buddy Bailey, the longtime manager across minor league baseball, the most active winning manager among the 120 currently practicing. He's out of the right field tunnel and standing in shallow right center field with the grounds crew. There's a lot of conversation going on. Two teams are here all weekend. It's so early in the evening, and it wasn't enough of an issue that you can't imagine that canceling or suspending this game is even remotely in the cards for those of you worried about that. There was a big old lightning bolt that just went behind dead center field. We're all just going to collectively act like we didn't see that. That was not heat lightning either. There was a definite Harry Potter scar level spark straight down the sky. The Storms are moving out beyond left center and dead center field. They came from behind us and are blowing that direction, coming from the southwest. So as the Storms continue to move, understandable that we would see some lightning off in the distance, but no thunder behind it, at least none audible here at the ballpark. Umpires Theo Arndt and Liana Ricks have now made their way onto the field in discussion with Buddy Bailey as well and the grounds crew. Figure they may be trying to locate a specific time of return to play. It's 8:20 Eastern. The ball game got underway at 7:04. We have now been in a rain delay for about 45 minutes. There's supposed to be fireworks behind this. And with the chance now developing of some overnight showers entering the field of play, it's just one more thing to keep an eye on. The worst of it is gone. But second place can still be mighty damaging. On-field hosts and the music crew here at Myrtle Beach are trying to keep the fans engaged. Looks like Buddy Bailey, the umpires, Theo Arndt, Liana Ricks, and at least one member of the grounds crew are now walking the length of the outfield, moving from deep right center, where the gate is to bring in players and umpires from the right field clubhouse, which hosts the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. Have to figure they're headed to talk to Winston Sawyer. We have not seen Sawyer since the whole team went scrambling for cover in the locker room down the left field line for the Green Jackets. Two runs, three hits, no errors for Augusta. No runs, one hit, one error for the Pelicans. There's a score of 2-0 with two outs in the top of the second. Green Jackets have men at first and third, and Luis Sanchez is due up when we resume this ball game. A little bit more lightning now behind center field. But it's getting further and further away as we speak. Take a look around the Carolina League and see who else is in action and potentially not delayed right now. Delmarva's leading Kannapolis 2-1 in the bottom of the sixth. Delmarva 8-21 on the year, but rapidly improving, winners of five of their last seven. Kannapolis snapping a four-game losing streak last night. But they're on the wrong side of a close one deep in the ballgame there at Atrium Health Ballpark. River Dogs needing a win badly as Fredericksburg's in town and the Fred Nats are red hot. Freddies will make their way here to Pelicans Ballpark next week to conclude their 12-game South Carolina trip. Fred Nats 21-9 in their first 30 ballgames. Tied with Carolina at the top, the Mudcats are 20-8 through 28 games. So Carolina's got two games in hand that they could use to potentially propel themselves back into sole possession of first place in the North. Feels like those will be the teams to watch across the first half. A lot of things can change over the course of a minor league season, and Lynchburg and Salem and even down east are still within striking distance. But as we're through the first month of the season, the longer we get towards the center of June, which is where the first half comes to a conclusion, the further away that realm of contention gets. For those of you unfamiliar with the way the playoffs work at the single A level, when the first half ends, whoever is at the top of the two divisions clinches an automatic berth to the divisional round of the Carolina League playoffs, regardless of how they play in the second half. Right now, that would be Carolina in the north and Fayetteville in the south. Believe the last game of the first half of the season is Thursday, June 20th, when we're in Salem. First full game or first full series of the second half of the Green Jackets will be hosting the River Dogs at home. Then the second half starts that Thursday or that Friday, and then we go right into a completely different swing where everybody's record is set back to zero. If the same team wins both halves, then it's the team with the second best overall record. But if any of the five teams that haven't already punched their ticket to the playoffs win the second half, then they will play the first half team in the divisional round, and home field advantage for those ball games in the divisional round are selected by overall record. The Charleston River Dogs have won each of the last three Carolina League titles, and in each of the last 2 years, it's been the Pelicans that have won the first half and the River Dogs that have won the second. Charleston, a very much a second-half team. The Rays development staff, they take the training wheels off the players. Managers are allowed to make substitutions, play the matchups in the bullpens. They don't have mandated days off. As Tampa Bay, an organization that believes strongly that there's no substitute for playing for championships, and there's no way to replicate the high intensity and winning desire of playoff baseball, even if it's a single-A level. Green Jackets haven't been to the playoffs since becoming a Braves affiliate back in 2021. Last made it in 2019 to the divisional round when they were still with the San Francisco Giants affiliation. For a long period of time, Myrtle Beach was in fact a Braves affiliate. From 1999, when they restarted a organization here, to 2010, Myrtle Beach belonged to Atlanta. And being in the heart of Braves country here in South Carolina, that change did not go over well. They were a Rangers affiliate after that, for now taking over the Cubbies. And the Northsiders, because of the way that they, at the major league level, connect themselves and try to establish unity through the brand across their four minor league levels, there's a lot more buy-in locally because the Cubs, to their credit, do a great job of making Myrtle Beach and making the lower ball clubs feel like they still have a hand in those players that have made their way up all the way across the ladder, from High A South Bend Cubs to the Double A Tennessee Smokies and Kodak, and then on up to the AAA Iowa Cubs before they make it to the Ivy infestation of Wrigley Field. Whatever the conversation was that was going on between Winston Sawyer, Buddy Bailey, the grounds crew, and the umpires appears to be finished, as the initial foursome is now making their way back across the length of the outfield. It's still dark clouds, and twilight is rapidly coming and going. So it's definitely a concerning atmosphere, but it appears to be on its way beyond the center field wall. And while it might not look the prettiest overhead for the rest of the night, and there's no chance that we're going to see the Aurora Borealis here tonight, like some folks across minor league baseball are hoping to do, especially in the northern organizations, you feel like there's a chance baseball will still be played. Around the rest of the minor leagues, before we take another commercial break, Salem and Columbia are scoreless in the bottom of the third. Two on, two out for the Fireflies as they try to keep themselves going and stay above 500. Columbia at 14-13 is a game and a half behind Fayetteville, but just a game in front of both Augusta and Kannapolis. Kannapolis has two on and two out in the sixth as well as they try to regain the lead against the Shorebirds. Down East is also in a rain delay just like us. They're scoreless in the bottom of the third against the Lynchburg Hillcats. Lynchburg had a five-game winning streak snapped last night by the Wood Ducks. We only see the Lynchburg Hillcats once this year. That's on the road from June 11th through the 16th. But they're always an interesting organization, and Lynchburg will have much more of a national eye on them come July and August because they are a Cleveland Guardians organization, and Cleveland has the number one overall pick. There's a lot of discussion around the top overall pick. And it's always fun when that year's number one slot does not have a guaranteed player. Now, no matter what year you're in, there's always some smoke thrown and you have different visages thrown on to where they try to obscure who it's going to be. Last year, you felt nearly certain that Paul Skeens would go 1-1. But all the way up until the draft, there was the discussion about, oh, Dylan Cruz could be in there. oh, maybe the Pirates want to save some money on their bonus slot and they'll go Wyatt Langford or Max Clark, one of the high school players. In the end, it was Skeens. And even the day of the draft, there started to be rumors coming out that Dylan Cruz did not want to be a Pirate, that he was more happy to be a National, and that Dylan Cruz was not willing to go to the Pirates unless they went over slot in the number one overall pick. Skeens still got over slot, signed for a then record of $9.2 million. That is going to get shattered this year almost certainly because slot value has jumped up to $10.15 million. Charlie Condon, oh, they're waving this ball game off. They're waving their hands. Liana Ricks just came out and waved. The umpires just threw their hands up in the air. We don't have an official answer yet, but they just came out looking at the press box and waved their hands. Trying to find out the answers. That is a surprise. If that's the case, that is a shocker. Wow. Wow. There we go. The Green Jackets have had their game postponed. We are not going to play any more baseball tonight. There are additional storms potentially coming through the area later tonight. The radar, depending on which one you look at, is disagreeing. But for right now, we're done. This game and the numbers in it still count. So we're going to play a doubleheader tomorrow. We are going to play a doubleheader tomorrow. First pitch, we believe, is going to be at 4 o'clock p.m., and it will begin in the top of the second. We will play all 9 innings, or at least the 8 innings remaining of this contest, and then we will play a 7-inning game 2 of the doubleheader 40 minutes after the conclusion. So everybody needs to buckle in. It's going to be a long day of baseball tomorrow. When we start back up, Augusta will be leading 2-0. There will be two men on and two outs for the leadoff hitter, Luis Sanchez. Doubtful that Didier Fuentes will be able to throw, and this throws the rotation for a loop entirely. Tomorrow was supposed to be Adam Meyer on the mound for the Green Jackets and Juan Bello on the bump for the Pelicans. Bello this year 0-1 in 5 starts, but a 2.04 ERA. He has been fantastic, but has gotten no type of run support. With Bello and Meyer going toe-to-toe, we expected to see a fantastic pitcher's duel. Now we don't know what we're going to see because Kenton Egbert threw 40 pitches, and he's unlikely to bounce back. Didier Fuentes looked great through his first inning. Fuentes barely threw any at all. But can you really ask him to get right back going after throwing 16 pitches in the first inning? How will that change the plans for Sunday, which was originally supposed to be Garrett Bauman against Alfredo Romero? Why was this game canceled? Do they know something we don't? All these questions and more will be answered on next week's episode. So the plan is apparently 4:05 tomorrow. There are going to be fireworks eventually tonight. But for right now, this game is over. This game is not concluded, but we will play at 4 p.m. tomorrow. We will start in the top of the second, play all 9 innings, and then we will play 7 more in a shortened back half of the game that will begin 30 to 40 minutes probably closer to 40, after the conclusion of game number one. Last time we said we were going to do something like this was last Sunday. We got through the concluded game that got stopped in the 11th. We finished it in 12. We got into the second of Sunday's game that was supposed to be all nine innings. And then the rain came again. So we will see. Tomorrow is allegedly supposed to bring sunny skies and peaceful oceanside breezes. But we've been wrong before. So tonight's game, one more time before we bid you goodnight, is postponed until tomorrow at 4 p.m. We will go live with you at 3:50 here on the Green Jackets Baseball Network for game one. We will play all nine innings necessary to get through the contest. And then we will play seven, 40 minutes after that. Green Jackets will be leading 2-0. And Lord only knows who will be pitching for either side. But a rain-soaked start to the season continues for the Green Jackets. And we will have our first true doubleheader tomorrow. I have to be honest, I am a little bit shocked that this game is being canceled. But it is. My surprise does not constitute a change. So there you go. This was a great dress rehearsal, everybody. Give yourself a hand. Very proud of all of us. We're going to try it again tomorrow. We're going to start in the second inning. We're going to play eight innings. Then we're going to play seven more. Then we're going to do it again on Sunday on a getaway day at 6:05 and drive back home to Augusta. And hopefully everybody can sleep in on Monday. Nobody's allowed to make a roster move on Monday. Nobody's allowed to need anything on Monday. Because we're going to play a lot of baseball this weekend. The way Abner Doubleday intended. We're going to play two. We're playing a Cubs affiliate. Ernie Banks would be thrilled. But we're going to cut it off. We're going to see you tomorrow. I've been Noah Adcock-Howeth. The Green Jackets up 2-0 in a game that's been postponed until 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon as part of a single admission doubleheader. We'll be live for all of it beginning at 3:50 on Green Jacket Radio Network as part of Green Jackets Baseball. Link always available on the website and on the Twitter. We appreciate you stopping by here. We're glad that you found us. And if you happen to still be with us, thank you for that. Have a beautiful night, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy your Friday. I hope it's been less damp than ours has been. Weekend baseball, three games in 2 days, including one that starts with the Pelicans in a two-run hole. See you at 3:50. We're sorry that it rained. We'll try to do better tomorrow.